Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
I'm going to very happily introduce Christina, whose session this is. So Christina is an embodied facilitator and coach, not just that. She's also a trainer in embodiment on the EFC program. She is an Aikido black belt and a dancer, and her work focuses on relating and intimacy, hence why she's here doing this presentation, but also why she curated and manages this channel. I'm so delighted to be hosting this session, which is about holding a mirror to ourselves and learning to integrate some of our loved and unloved parts. Christina, I'm going to hand over to you, and just the stage is yours.
Thank you so much, Kat. So yeah, welcome everyone. Today I want to address a topic, and I called it mirror, mirror on the wall, because this is what popped up in my head when I thought about what do we do? What is all this when we talk about relating to ourselves, relating to another? A lot of what happens is things get pushed off into the shadows. We have certain ideas about ourselves that might lead to conflict. And what it boiled down to for me, and also based on a few personal experiences I've had over the last couple of years, was the degree of coming back from projections and turning them around to thereby like work on shadows. And I'm gonna do my best to quickly kind of elaborate in the next 15 minutes what I mean by projections and all of the other terms I'm throwing in right now, and then also offer two methods that I found really valuable to possibly integrate and really look at how we can turn what we're projecting out into the world onto like a projection of a projector, like a cinema projector that projects an image outside, rather than looking at the internal, looking at our experience, at our actions, and kind of holding up that mirror. So this already gives an answer to how can I reintegrate what I'm projecting outwards to a degree. So doing my best to be concise in the first part, what are projections? My understanding of projections, and I'm not a scholar that has researched that, is that they are unintegrated parts of ourself, and maybe parts of ourselves we're not even aware of, that we, because we don't see them in ourselves, end up like being projected, which means I, in that case, might only perceive something that I don't know is part of me in the outside world. So it might be a trait in someone else. It might be a quality. It might be, I don't know, how they're dressed, or that might bring up something. So that brings me to the next point, which is like, how do I notice that I'm projecting? To a degree, there's an element of acting or reacting out of proportion to the situation or to the person. And maybe I want to invite you as well, while I speak, to maybe share your own experience of that in the chat. So maybe the Q&A function, if you have particular questions, I'll return to at the end of this session. But if you have some feedback, I'd love for you to just share that in the chat with me as well. So have you ever had that experience that you're maybe even encountering a person, you meet them for the first time, and you're like, oh, there's something about them. I'm just like, and something creates that reaction that is out of proportion because it has nothing really to do with the other. For me, that's a kind of like obvious case in which I'm like, oh yeah, probably it's something I I can look at in myself. It can also be much more subtle. It can happen in relationships, established relationships, where I'm bothered by something that the other does, or I'm like envious of a friend of mine. That could be an example. And I'd start judging them. So judgment for me often is another sign for I am possibly projecting something that I can really look at in myself onto that other person, onto the situation, or whatever it is I am judging. Oh, this is annoying. And there's another degree of, have you ever said that sentence? Ah, that person, I'd never do this. Yeah, anyone? Or is it just me that has done that in the past? Or at the same time, there could be the other side of it. Projections don't always need to be negative. So there's that degree of like, oh, it's a trait I dislike and I might not be willing to admit I have myself or whatever, and I project it outward. But there's also the element of, oh, look at that person. They are so amazing. I could never do this. And that equally can be a total projection. Anyone has had that, maybe? Anyone in the room want to give me a wave? Yeah. So for me, there are two ways. And sometimes the way I learned working with that as well is again, the terminology of shadow. And then reversed, of golden shadow. So what it is that I project into the external, rather than looking into the mirror and saying, oh, wow, what is that about myself? So I want to ask you to think back to a situation where you were very aware that, oh, there's something that came up in me that has not much to do with the other, but it stirs something up. And maybe you've noticed something even in your body that happened then. And this is the other bit, like, normally, when there is a degree of projecting something outward, there's a discomfort I can notice in my own body that gives me a clue about, especially when it's about not owning something, not owning my part. Because for me, this is another important element I want to speak to a little bit, which is like, for example, in a situation of conflict, let's say. I had a conflict with my partner and there was a degree of me playing out a pattern of testing something, how he would react. And like, and it was very easy and was that fine line of being possibly just in that position of, oh, it's just about him. He's overreacting and like just giving away that element. And I know I'm mixing a few things in here, but there was a degree of then being willing to stop, to pause. And within the discomfort to go, hold on for a moment. He might be overreacting, but he is reacting to something. And there I became really aware of that element of why we do externalize a lot of these elements. There's a degree of trying to protect who I think I am with all the qualities, the kind of traits I have, or think I have, or want to have, or think I could possibly not have, whatever beliefs I hold about myself that are suddenly challenged. And in a given situation, we're all human, we're all fucked up to some varying degrees, and we all make mistakes. But that crucial moment where I could choose to look at myself instead of trying to just protect my own perceived identity that comes with all whatever. I'm this, I'm that, I'm not that, I would never do this. So this is not possibly the truth. He's just overreacting, da, 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 all that. And I know that they're complex in varying degrees and that past experiences can make it very, very challenging and difficult. And the way we developed our patterns, they're all survival strategies. They're all ways of getting what we want or avoiding what we don't want. But that moment to pause and to really look at, ah, wow, this is really uncomfortable and I have a choice here. And I can go either ways. I can go, ah, oh, I'm sticking to my idea of who I am and what I would do or what I wouldn't do and who I am and who I'm not. Or I can genuinely hold up that mirror, take a close look, and I almost recommend sitting in front of a mirror, sitting in front of yourself, looking at yourself and really asking yourself, what is my part in this? What am I not seeing here? What am I rejecting here? What is the part in me that I feel uncomfortable around? And for me, it was like, I'm not a person that plays games. I'm not possibly testing my partner, but I did. And in that very moment, I had the choice of construing and validating the story I held in my head about myself and just be like, no, and like keep it on the outside, or to choose to be like, okay, I don't want to be like that, but I did it. And there's a lot for me to learn in this. But this is a particular example in a particular case. More often it happens possibly with people that we don't even know. So there it might give us much more of an indication of certain traits, qualities that we might need or want, I don't know, that's up to you, re-own and reintegrate. And that's what I really want to address with the exercise I'm going to introduce in a little while, because this is about embodying and possibly creating change. So what are examples where like you found yourself projecting, for instance? What are things, I can give a few examples and maybe you want to share a few more in the chat right now as well. Personally, for instance, I've caught myself a few times going like, oh, look at that person. They're really arrogant. Again, that flag of I'm probably projecting, it's a harsh judgment on someone I don't even know. So in that moment to go like, oh, okay, what could my perception of their arrogance tell me about me? So the negative judgment in that case. And then to turn it around and to be like, okay, I'm apparently not, I don't like arrogance. I don't like something. Maybe I have a certain degree of arrogance in myself I need to look at, and I don't really want to. All this like self-inquiry that can follow. So arrogance for me is, for instance, one example. Another one is envy. If envy comes up, it could also be like, oh, I'm judging something because I actually want it. It's like, oh, they're this and that, or I dismiss a certain quality or trait or behavior in someone else because I actually really would love to have that or be able to do that. And I remember I had that in the past a lot with a certain degree of very feminine women that were expressing their sensual feminine kind of qualities very strongly. And I had to do a little bit of work around that because that was a part in myself I did reject. There was something I was like, because I also, and that's where a distinction is necessary and where we often in a coaching context work with distinction coaching, I kind of had this confusion around all of this being just manipulative and like all the negative judgments that I could potentially come up with. Instead of being like, maybe there's also a degree that I can't do this, I can't access this in myself and I would actually like to. And then I turned that around, worked with it for a few years, and now it doesn't bring up that judgment and that reaction in me anymore when somebody has it. I'm like, oh yeah, they're very much in their sensual feminine expression. But it doesn't create that sort of trigger, you could almost say. So maybe think about that. Is there something you notice yourself get upset about in other people more frequently? So that might be an indicator of something you reject about yourself. Just again, let's turn the mirror. Laziness, yeah. People chasing money, yeah. What is your relationship to money? Do you maybe not allow yourself to earn money, to have money? And all of this is always influenced by the way we grew up, by the culture, by our own history, the personal history, our parents, the value system we've been kind of, marinated in. So in a way, it's not really your fault. All these strategies have been developed for a reason, but we're at a point, especially when we're adults, that we can make choices. But to make a choice, you need to be willing to really become aware of whatever is in the shadow in that sense, because it plays out in different ways. And then projections are sort of an expression of it. To then be like, oh, okay, I'm actually learning, I'm integrating, and I'm creating the foundation for me to choose, to make a difference. I'm creating the foundation to change my patterns. And that's like, in every given moment, I'm confronted with these situations, to be willing to really stare into the mirror and go like, what does that tell me about myself? And there's the other element of like, how do I notice I'm projecting possibly? There's a lot of blame. Anything that's directed at the outside, anything that goes like, but they are, and they did, and they do, and they have that, and I would never. And anytime you find yourself being very rigid, ask yourself again and really notice and be honest. Be honest with yourself, because this mind, and I know from my own experience, I was so freaking stubborn to admit that, and especially in relationships. And that's why, I mean, within this channel, especially, to admit to a friend, to admit to a partner that, oh yeah, actually, you know, it's my fault, or not even most important that it is of anyone's fault, but just to be willing to look at my part in it at some point, and not to hold up the conflict just for the sake of being right or maintaining the idea of who I am or what I'm not. So why do I even think this is important? I partly mentioned that now is it opens up a whole range of possibilities to grow and become a more integrated and whole person, to be more in integrity in ourselves. And the other part is relationships. How many of you end up in conflicts or create internal drama, or drama always from an internal source as a starting point, but like in any kind of given relationship. And sometimes it can be traced back to that, the unwillingness to really turn around that projector and transform it into the mirror. So let me just see anything else I wanted to mention. No, I think the other point I made with regards to this can be positive as well is another one, because I want to give you two little methods or exercises to play with now and explore to integrate these parts. And these are methods that derive from theater and other embodied practices and are being used in various modalities and ways. So the negative part we talked about can be shadow expressions, can be something I reject in myself that I have judged as negative, as bad, not part of me. I don't want to like admit that I might have something that I don't want to have. The other part is the golden shadow would be the opposite. It would be projecting something outward that I actually really find wonderful and would love to have, but have some sort of belief that makes me think, oh, no, I can't possibly. Because maybe I've been taught as a woman, I can't be powerful. Or, I don't know, as a leader, I have to be strong and strict and like assertive and God knows what. And thereby, I don't allow myself to actually, I don't know, be something else that then, because I don't see it in myself, I project outward. So let's start with the golden one. And I love this little exercise. It was very revealing to me. And because we're talking about relationships, let's start with that. If you're willing, join me in a little self-inquiry and then also an embodiment of that. Of remind yourself of previous relationships and your partners, or the sort of person you feel attracted to, the sort of person you tend to fall in love with or admire. And if that's a bit like, oh, at the moment, romantic relationships, and who do you admire? It could be a famous person. It could be someone who's in the spotlight and you think, oh, they're fabulous. They're so great. And that could be another in. So bring them to mind. And especially with former relationships, it's an indicator. If you notice that maybe your three previous partners all share that one trait that you really love, that you felt drawn to begin with. And I can say for myself, this is the best inquiry I do whenever I meet a person, I feel some sort of attraction. It doesn't need to be a sexual attraction. It could also be, personally, I'm heterosexual. I feel drawn to a woman. And I'm like, oh, instead of going admiring, putting it out, and she's so great, and yeah, she's probably great. But also to turn it around, be like, what does that tell me about myself? So what is the trait that you can recall that a person has that you admire, or the kind of red thread that spans through all your previous, I don't know, all the people you fell in love with or felt attracted to? And it can change over time, obviously, but if you have that, maybe you want to share that in the chat as well. And then we can have a little harvest and clarity and presence, humor, clarity, innocence, communication, kindness, confidence. Yeah, beautiful. Super, yeah. Passion and intensity. Great. Strength and creativity. Lots of ideas. Yeah. And already in that little inquiry, can you see that you might discover a little longing for that quality or trait in yourself? Oh, I wish I was able to do that. Or you might actually have it yourself, but you haven't given it much room to express. So what I want to do with you now is to bring that into a little bit of movement. And you can do this sitting or standing. I'm going to pick, the traits I generally feel drawn to and admire are like a sense of independence, confidence, sort of like a brightness. And I'm already doing it in my body now that I'm sharing that with you. So that's the invitation right now. I'm going to do it standing, and I hope you can then see me as well to demonstrate that. And if you want to do it with me standing, please get up, but you can also do it sitting if the quality that you chose is something that can be performed sitting. So for me, like I said, it's confidence. How in this very moment could I bring a bit more confidence into my own body? So, okay, I'm trying to be as neutral as I would stand right now. What would a little bit more of a confident posture look like? So for me, that's a raising of my chest, for instance. And maybe for those who are completely lost and you've never worked with the body, I can throw in a few more examples. If it's sensuality, for instance, like you're really drawn to kind of this flowy feminine, maybe start to bring a little bit of movement into your body, like this sort of swaying softness. If it's a certain assertive directness, forwardness, maybe you can bring your weight into a forwards direction. Maybe it's a soft, receptive kind, like backwards, kind of like a care, a hugging. How could you in your body take that? And maybe even less than that, maybe that's too abstract. Copy that person you had in mind. How would they stand? How would they sit? Like for me, the confidence would be very much that uprightness, the sort of like, okay, here I am, a sort of bigness. And if I would even bring this into a walk, you can play with that. Be like this, yes, head up, like walking, being big, being willing to be seen, but also solid in myself. There's no seeking for anything out there. It's like I feel the connection to the ground and also the uprightness. Play with that a little bit. And allow yourself to dial that up, whatever the quality is. If it's humor, maybe it's a bit like loosening up and shaking it out and maybe pulling a few faces that loosen and shakes things up so you can actually let that creativity, the humor come through and like, don't really give a shit and like, you know, pull a joke and like, yeah, and be a bit loose and relaxed. But with the quality you've chosen that you feel drawn to. So I'll give you like a minute or two to dial it up. So stand a little bit more like them, like that person you admire, that person you feel drawn to. Walk a little bit more. What would they say? How do they speak? How do they breathe? Where? Which part of the body? Dialing it up even a bit more. Like exaggerating it almost to a comic degree. Like, I'm so confident. Like you can exaggerate it. Like, oh, Yes, here I am. And like, I'm super solid in myself. That would be my example, but stick with your own. Like, how can you be really juicy and sensual? If that is what you're working with. How can you be really silly or like humorous or relaxed and loose? And like, yeah, everything's cool. I got this friend who's like got that sort of attitude to life. He's like, oh, no problem, you know? And I admire it. All right. So from that exaggeration, let's dial it back down a little bit again and see if you can almost like a suit that you're putting on, like a whole body suit, kind of wear this way of being, this embodiment. Can you dial it down and make it your own? Like a second skin, part of yourself. Dialing it back down to be more and more blending with your own way of being. How much of this, like, you know, putting a bit of spice into a soup, how much of this can you put in that feels good and feels like, yeah, this could be me in this as well? All the way from the exaggeration back into, I'm going to sit back down again. All the way into that tiny little expression of that. So in my case, embodying confidence in that moment would be more of an upright spine. And you might actually try to give it some words of what you've noticed in your body. What did you do with your body? Because we worked from an abstract level of qualities. Okay. And maybe you want to share that in the chat once again. What are the actual physical things that you did? Was it like, oh, leaning back? I gave some cues, but maybe you found some completely different ones that were more fitting for the quality you want to embody. Shoulders back a bit. Yeah. That could also help to kind of be more open or confident, or yeah, straighter spine is for me very much one thing I did. Chin up was another thing for me I noticed I did. And we can even go to the level of like, where would you look? What's the focus with your eyes? I mentioned the breath, for instance. And we can take this way, 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 way further. And this is more like a crutch. Taking another person, taking someone that we admire and sort of project onto, and then imitating them to integrate by means of copying and exaggeration. And then dialing it back down to make it just enough that feels it's still us, that feels suitable. Open chest, straight. And it's really, really helpful to also disconnect that, because we started from the abstract. We started from that it's identified with a person we know or we know of, to like the quality, to the actual physical shifts we made in our own bodies. And this is something you can take away and practice. This is something very concrete that beyond the inquiry, whenever you're faced with a situation where you're like, oh my God, they're so amazing, to go like, oh, what is it about them? That's the inquiry bit. Oh, and how could I have a little bit more of that myself, or allow myself to express a little bit more of this? And the embodied bit of it and the full body way of doing it, and you can really dial it up like all the way, like I'm kind of playing the music real loud and then dialing it back down to an enjoyable level, is really copying whatever you think or however it would express in walking, in sitting, in speaking. And then you do that for a little bit of time, and you could repeatedly do that. You could make it your practice. Oh, wow, I really notice confidence is a thing I apparently want to integrate or have more of. Or essentiality is something I want more of. How can I create little pockets of time in my day to do that? On my way to work, going for a walk in the park, can I walk like that person I admire? And I had a very dear, dear friend that did that. She actually played with that really extensively. And she had this like, oh, I'm always feeling drawn to these guys. And they have, I don't remember the exact quality, that it was, but they had a certain quality, and she started walking like them. She started copying them for a period of time. And after a few weeks, she was like, I'm noticing something different in me. I'm noticing a shift. What's going on here? And then even longer down the line, her preferences or her choice of partner or her choice, I'm phrasing it as a choice, changed. The people she was drawn to changed. And that's indicative for me. What we're drawn to often says more about what we're seeking to integrate in our own being. So if you do a lot of work, and if you do a lot of reflection work and integration work, this might shift who you're drawn to. This might shift how you perceive the world around you for sure. And also the people you engage with and how you engage with them. And instead of coming from that place of, oh, I want this from them, or I'm even, we're going to look at the other expression of it, which is the not the golden shadow, but the more shadow part, which is maybe a little more uncomfortable, but who knows? It could be equally uncomfortable to integrate something we don't think we're capable of because we're not good enough, which is often the story we have going in the, on in the background. But yeah, integrating that will definitely shift how you show up, who you're drawn to, and not coming from a place of empty and I want to take this, or being envious and thereby, but actually coming more and more into a whole sense of yourself and growth and possibly better relationships. All right, I'm going to check in the chat what you've shared. And how was that for you? Did you have any insights, anything new, anything that was difficult for you with this one before we move on to the other bit? What was the difference in the, oh, I'd have to double check with her, but she only shared very briefly that it shifted who she was attracted to. So these imperiousness. Yeah. And start maybe with one quality. Because I mean, there might be so many different qualities we perceive in one person, and we want to integrate maybe a million different qualities, but maybe one at a time to really allow that to sink in and to reprogram yourself almost. Out of reluctance. Yeah, sometimes exaggeration can be especially helpful to go through this resistance, because obviously it's a part of ourselves that we might be rejecting for whatever reason. And there might be an initial sort of like, it's uncomfortable to go there because there was a reason I didn't want to, and I kept projecting it outwards. And now I'm probably like, and there's like the kind of, So dialing it up and exaggeration can really help to kind of bring a bit of humor in and make it not us. And then dialing it back down, we make it us. Yeah. Yeah, modeling. Dialing it up, yeah. All right. So let's look a little bit more at the other side of things. So here equally, like when there is something I reject in myself, and I already mentioned the example of arrogance, but it could be unreliability or, oh, they're so manipulative, they're this, they're that. Anytime you catch yourself thinking, judging, or maybe blaming, projecting outward, whatever it is, there's also the possibility to not, oh, maybe I'm arrogant myself. Maybe that's true. But what I loved was one of my teachers, Patrick Cassidy, we did a process of identifying the dancing partner of that quality. Let's go with the example of arrogance, because it ties very well into what I gave as an example as well. I had a rejection around arrogant people. Like there was a sort of like, oh, they're arrogant, I don't really want to relate with them. And throughout doing more and more work, I realized more and more about why that was an issue for me, or why I reacted so strongly to that. And finding the dancing partner is going into not being like, oh, I'm arrogant, maybe myself, and that's why I have an issue with it. And it's not going into, oh, I'm so humble, and that's why I have an issue with it either. So because we can talk about arrogance and its polar opposite, or the contrast, black and white, whatever, arrogance, humility, but that's not what it's about. It's about finding the dancing partner. It's more the other side of the coin. It's that which lies in the shadow of it. I don't want to reuse the word shadow, but it's what might be the gift within that quality we reject. And to inquire into that might really reveal a lot about what it is you haven't integrated, which isn't arrogance in this case. What could it be? Any guesses? And in the meantime, also to throw in, there's obviously not only the part of projecting, but also being projected on. Confidence, believing in oneself. Yes. Confidence. Yep. It's an easy one. Arrogance can be confidence. And then again, it's almost like a scale, a sliding scale. If somebody is super confident, it might slide into that arrogance at some point. But where that line is debatable. And people might disagree on that. Where does it become arrogance? Where does confidence stop, arrogance begin? And we could have debates and debates and debates. And where does, for instance, humility start and insecurity, again, further down that line? But like finding that positive expression of some quality that we reject can really lead us into understanding what it is in myself that I'm seeking. So arrogance, oh, confidence. Confidence is apparently something I really value. Confidence is something I might occasionally not be able to really express, or I don't feel very confident some of the times. So I'm starting to maybe project onto people that are confident in the golden shadow sense away. Oh yeah, they're so amazing. They're so confident and solid in themselves. And equally, I might project on other people because they might just have that tiny bit too much for my liking. Oh, they're so arrogant. So to watch out and really, do you have another, maybe other examples for these dancing partners? The rejection toward grumpy stiffness, boldness. Oh, these are all ones. Stupidity and dumbness, aren't they similar? The same. Yeah, it's a yin and yang flow. Self-love. I have one. It is similar to the one I mentioned. It's the confusion we often have around vulnerability and weakness. That might be one tricky one. Being indifferent, ignoring. Being independent and being like an extreme expression of that could be just selfish or self-centered. Yeah, selfish, self-care. That can be confused, absolutely. Being a bad listener versus allowing yourself to take up space, yeah. And it's already becoming apparent, yeah, being helpful and a martyr, how this in relationship is really one thing that often can lead to conflict and misunderstandings. Because we all have a different gauge on where one thing starts and the other ends, and our interpretation of certain behaviors, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Okay, let's do another little exercise with maybe one of the things you get triggered by that are like really annoying. Have you had a situation, and now I invite you to bring that to mind, where in the last weeks maybe you felt really annoyed and you were like, oh my God, this person, and they're like that, and where you found yourself making a judgment of someone? And if you haven't had a a personal direct encounter, maybe you can bring to mind another thing that brought that up for you. It could be even having watched something on TV where you're like, oh, this person, they're always like that. Can you bring something to mind where you were upset, annoyed? And let's stick with a quality, not yet something that's relational. It's, because that might be pointing towards another kind of area, which is like unmet needs. So in relational context, there's always that as well. People taking up space, like too much space. They're always like so loud and so big and like, ah, these Americans, they're like talking all like over everyone. could be a judgment on a culture. And I also have a lot of American friends. So. Right. Being rude, passive aggressive. I mean, there are definitely traits that are unfavorable. I mean, if someone's aggressive, I'm not sure that there's a projection in it, you know, and where is that line? Where's the line of like it actually being a bad trait and bad behavior? Or it being, it has actually nothing to do because it's out of proportion. It's something that I identify in the other person as annoying, that I dislike, that I reject, that I react to, without them necessarily having done something. So it's more of like, I get annoyed with their way of being. I get annoyed with how they do something. That might be another way to differentiate that. Right. And then again, can you go into the inquiry with that quality or that behavior, the how they do something? What is it they do? And what's your judgment about that? And then you could ask yourself the question of where do you maybe exhibit this? Where and when? And if that doesn't give you any clue, you could move on to what might the dancing partner of that quality be? What would be a positive or healthy expression of what you're picking up on? So arrogance, confidence, weakness, vulnerability. There's an element, there's a beauty in like, being willing to be seen and taking up space, but it could also be like, oh, I just want to push up to the front and this is annoying. There it might be quite clear. Maybe you want to take up more space. Maybe you want to be seen more. It could be being judgmental. You don't like people who are judgmental. Maybe there's an element of wanting to be more discerning and make certain judgments yourself. Maybe you find someone very negative or unapproachable, but it might also be that they're very good at saying no and have good boundaries. So can you tickle that out for yourself? Because each one of us has multiple qualities that we react to. Selfish, more assertive, yeah. And then I would love to do the same thing we did earlier and actually work with a bit more humor. So let's start with that negative thing. And if you don't mind, I'll go with the example of taking up space and I'll demonstrate, and maybe it's ridiculous. If you're willing to do that and pick the quality that really annoys the crap out of you, and then be willing to just put that on for a little moment. So I'll become a really annoying, loud, and disrespectful person that just goes, nah, here I am. Look at me. Big me, and I'm talking all the way. And here, and look at me. No, guys, look at me right now. How would that be? Huh? me, listen to me, look at me. Can you really ridicule that? Can you access something that allows you to actually take the piss? To be like, you know, arrogance is another example. You know, I know everything and I'm so great. And just like dial it up once more. Let's play with that and jump straight into an exaggeration that it has nothing to do with you. It's that person that is so arrogant because they know everything and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And like, the other people are nothing in comparison. And look at me because I'm so great. Or maybe it's something of, I don't know, what's another example? I'm just going to give you a few examples so you can take it away, maybe play with it. The sensuality bit. Oh, they're so sleazy. And it's always about, you know, them wanting attention because they're like, oh, look at me. Can you embody this in some way? Whatever quality, whatever annoyed you for a moment. And then pause for a moment. Close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. And again, this can also be done in a smaller way, smaller movement, sitting. And then see if you can reconnect to that dancing partner. And access the actual quality behind it. What might be the gift in it? What might be the little kind of pinch of confidence you want to add? The little bit of more willingness to be seen and heard. How would that express? To bring that into your body, how could that little bit more softness, little bit more sensuality, little bit more receptivity, whatever quality you want to bring in that you identified as your dancing partner. The dancing partner of confusion. People are so confused. It's a good question. Different kinds of confusion. You can't find a dancing partner. It can be a tricky one. And sometimes you can work with the initial exercise we did of integrating something which is very clearly a quality we admire. Dialing it all the way up. With this one, I dialed it all the way up straight away, but you can work in the same way of dialing it back down. And what would arrogance look like if I just, like the tiniest minimal thing, like a little pinch added to my embodiment? And that might bring you to the dancing partner. Because like I said, it's this sliding scale. And there's a point where a healthy expression, a positive expression of a quality might start. So the dancing partner was what I identified as not the polar opposite of equality, which is confidence, humility, but the same quality, but in a healthy expression. The same quality, confidence, in an unhealthy expression, arrogance, and a healthy expression, confidence. But if it's done too much, then it might be more on the end of arrogance. Great. All right. So, Kat, are there any questions in the Q&A that might be worth including? Because I'm aware we're 5 minutes.
Yes, there are. Thanks for that exercise. Really, yeah. Got to something quite special. There were a few questions early on, so I'm going to go backwards actually. Somebody's asked, what can be a dancing partner for naggy, for like I'm hoping that's what you mean.
Persistence. Like, do you give up easily? Do you drop something you want very quickly, for instance? That would be an inquiry again.
And then we had some questions at the start when you were talking about sort of tuning into whether it's judgment or intuition. You were kind of talking about that. So Somebody asked, how can I know when I'm projecting or when it's intuition warning me? And the addition to that question was, especially when there's some complex trauma around it, which is always a work in progress. I don't know if you want to talk to those a little bit, so we come back to knowing where the judgment is coming from.
I am just going to be upfront. I'm not an expert on trauma at all. So I'm not sure how confident I would be to talk to that particular subject. Just, I know my own limitations.
So the first question was asked by somebody else, which is, how can I know when I'm projecting or when it's intuition warning me?
Intuition warning, as in what sense, will be my question. Yes, sometimes we have a hunch that some person, someone isn't, like there's something we might not perceive in the first moment, but our system alerts us of some sort of thing in them that might be not just a quality I'm projecting on, but something actual to stay away from. And I think trusting your intuition and your gut feeling is a really healthy and important thing to do. And I think we have all unlearned this because we overuse our minds so much and we overthink. But whenever you catch yourself I think the inquiry is a valuable one anyway. And if it brings you to a reasonable result and something valuable for yourself and a takeaway of some sort where you can, with the greatest willingness and honesty towards yourself, hold up that mirror, look at yourself, not spin off into a story, but really, really take that and it leads you somewhere, then wonderful. If you actually can't identify anything, maybe trust your gut. And there might be something about that person that you should just stay away from. And again, like noticing these things doesn't give indications of how if I should engage with that person. It's more like whatever I notice in them can inform me about something in myself. And to revert that, to revert the gaze out to a gaze inside. And that's why the mirror and the metaphors I used. What is the dancing part of rage? I mean, rage can be an expression of things, but is that something like you perceive rage in another person and that is like annoying? Because then I'm not sure.
We had a question just come in as you were talking. So I just wanted to reflect back that there's always a looking in both directions, right? And often it's the when we're looking at the other that we find something to kind of look at ourselves about. So I really like you bringing that in. And the mirror analogy is amazing. As you were talking to that, somebody asked, childish and softening brought me to being really afraid. What could be the dancing partner of childish and softening?
Mm-hmm. There's a distinction I want to make between emotions and qualities, which came up a few times here in the chat as well. Emotions are totally valid, and whatever you notice in your body and your system and identify as that emotion, that's a valid one. That's a subjective experience that we can't question. It's in that moment, that's the truth. That's an emotion. Can be dialed back down to like the actual sensations of it and that. Qualities is what I'm talking about. It's the how something is done. It's not my emotion or their emotion. It's how they do something. It's a quality I perceive in them, like a trait. It's not an emotion.
Yeah, wonderful distinction, that sort of separation between what it is that they did and the reaction that I had about what they did. Yeah, wonderful. We are at 5:02. I wonder if there's anything else that you want to say just to kind of to round off your session. And then I have some announcements to make and then we'll come back to you for your final words.
I think that generally, I really want to encourage everyone to be really, really honest with yourself, because that mirror, it can also have all sorts of layers, and like it can have like these blurry layers. We're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're still like sticking with the story we have about ourselves. To be really, really, really honest with yourself and then be honest with the other people around you, because that is bringing deeper intimacy into your relationships in the end. And that's my personal experiences. And on my path, I think it's been a huge step of growth to be willing to go into that uncomfortable, like, oh, this contradicts who I thought I was and how I was. But I'm willing to look at it and then change it and own it and reintegrate it by that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Christina. And thanks for those of you who asked questions that we didn't get to and for participating. I've just got some announcements to make, and then I'm going to come back to Christina for one final piece of wisdom. We have a Facebook group that we continue this conversation in. We're going to post the link to that now. And also, after you come out of this session, you're more than welcome to come into the coffee breaks, which you access through the portal, the website that you're in. I just want to mention again our channel sponsor, Ilan Stefani. I think there's a link to her site being posted. And we're going to post Christina's website too, so you can go and have a look at that. I think she's currently building it into the masterpiece, but come and register on her site for more information about what she does. And finally, this is available for 48 hours, after which time you can buy the recordings. And there's a few reasons that you might want to do that. So there's a lot going on across the conference at the moment. So buying the recordings gives you a bit of a breathing space and a chance to watch things at your leisure, and more importantly, integrate what you've kind of received through your mind and your body. So that sort of space in between to integrate the learning, which is the important piece. Secondly, we really appreciate it. So there's a lot of people working on this program who are getting not paid. There's a lot of volunteers working on this program, and there are a lot of people who've given their time for not very much, because we're passionate about spreading embodiment and making 2020 the embodiment decade and making sure everyone has access. And so to support that kind of cause, if you like, if you buy the recordings of either this channel and the keynote or the whole program, that really helps us continue this work. And it continues to help us get it to people for free, which is our mission. So I think that's everything. I'm gonna hand back to Christina. Christina, we're asking all of our speakers to share one top tip for staying embodied. I believe we're pulling all of that together into a masterpiece book, but I wanna ask you that question. What is your top tip for staying embodied that you wanna leave people with?
Feel, breathe, and move. It's not one, it's three, I'm cheating.
Simple ones are the best, I think. They're the easiest ones to remember. They're the ones that we can do in the supermarket queue or with the kids running around, or, you know, in our everyday lives rather than in a box on a mat or separate from the actual world that we live in. So thank you. I really enjoyed your session. I knew I would. And thanks to everyone for coming. And we look forward to seeing you in the Facebook group, in the coffee breaks, and in future sessions on the conference. Thanks.